Everyone, can you hear me okay? The sound system sounds kind of quiet today. Alright, 6 thumbs up. Loud enough? Okay. Alright. So today, as I was saying, we have a lot going on. Our graduates, we have Father's Day, and also we are celebrating Juneteenth. That day has been made a federal holiday. This is the second year it's been made a federal holiday, which commemorates when the Emancipation Proclamation was read to the people of Texas. And by it took 2.5 years between January of 1863 to June of 1865 for it to make its way all the way down there. And so we commemorate that today. We commemorate the liberation of people. Now, racism is something that has been part of the human condition probably from the very beginnings of civilization. In one of his works, historian Ephraim Pendy pointed out how in ancient Greece, and really in the time of Socrates and Plato and all of them, you know, they had their own version. And it always had to do, coinciding, and probably not so surprising, that whoever was in power at the time, they thought that, you know, their physical makeup, their culture, their skin tone, what have you, would be, well, you know, was the preferable one. So that was the one that was ideal. So in ancient Greece, they had this idea that the most beautiful skin tone was the kind of tan olive one that any of the Greeks enjoyed. And they would write how they wanted nobody that was either too light or too dark. They wanted people somewhere in the middle, and they considered that. Of course, we have had our own issues within this country, within our own history, and even to the point where people were enslaved based on their race. And even in a day like this, when the Emancipation Proclamation made its way to Texas, where actually what was read was a general order from the Union Army, you know, announcing freedom and everything, but as it ended with some lines along, all slaves are now free persons, but we encourage you to go back to your homes and negotiate with your former masters for pay for your work now, because the state will not tolerate idleness. And I read that, and I was saying to myself, really, human beings have been working without pay for so long, and you think that that's an appropriate thing to say? You know, idleness, I don't think we need to worry about that at this point. One of the other things that we have today, is one of these happy accidents, is how the gospel speaks to these issues. One of these happy accidents that we got the reading from Galatians. There is no longer male nor female, slave or free, nor barbarian or Greek, for all are one in Christ Jesus. So a sin like this one, and actually in any sin, Christ is always the solution. Because in Christ we are made right. You know, everything that separated us from God, that kept us separate from one another, are being put aside for the sake of oneness in Christ. Because we have unity with Christ, which means we have unity with one another. Because of Christ, we are justified by faith, especially in those places where we've fallen short, where we have missed the mark. And that doesn't mean we're forgiven so that we can just continue doing the same stuff. It means we're forgiven so that we can do better. And along with that forgiveness, along with that incorporation into Christ, we become part of Christ's family. Like I was saying, unity with Christ leads to unity with one another. And in doing so, Christ makes us one. We are all one in Christ Jesus. But at the foundation of this notion is the fact that we are justified by faith. St. Paul begins this passage in Galatians by describing to us how before we were under the law as a disciplinarian, saying all the laws of the Old Testament, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do, don't do this, don't do this. And some things in there we kind of look at and raise a few eyebrows. For example, my cotton polyester blended clergy shirts are considered an abomination to the Lord according to Leviticus 19:19. I promise you, go look it up. But what he was saying is that was kind of creating this foundation, was creating this way as the human race was maturing. know, those laws were given to us, you know, so that we can learn. It says, but when Christ came, now we are justified by faith. Was, as the Gospels describe, it was in the fullness of time when Christ came. The human race was ready for this new revelation of the God-man amongst us. And then in believing him, we are justified by faith. That word justified literally means to be made straight and true. You know, the things that were crooked have been made straight. The things that were wrong have now been made right. A few years ago, many of us were studying a book called The Anatomy of Peace by the Arbinger Institute, and they were talking about this notion of justified, and one of the characters in this book talked about his father, who was a carpenter, and he said this carpenter, as he was building a home or working on a home, would look at a wall, and if the wall was out of level, it was out of plumb, like it was leaning one way or another, which, you know, if you're building a house, you want a wall straight up and down, because that can bear the weight to the rest of house. No, but if it's off to the side, you know, it's going to put stresses on the wall, cause cracks, failure. That's what you didn't want. So often this carpenter would be working on a house and look at a wall, and if it was crooked, if it was leaning to one side or another, he would say, this wall needs to be justified. It needs to be made straight. Straight up and down. No, once that was done, the rest of the work could continue. Christians are kind of in a unique position that when we realize we've missed the mark, when we realize that either individually or collectively we've made some big mistakes or had some policies or however, even in our culture, things that are not important to the gospel, instead of hiding that because we're afraid we're going to be condemned, Christians are in the unique position to be able to look those mistakes square in the eye. Because God did not send his son into the world to condemn us, but to justify us, to make the problems, to fix the problems. Those areas where we miss the mark, where we are off base, Christ has been made to justify us through faith, to make us straight. I don't think anyone understood this better than a man who may or may not know his name. His name is John Newton. And if you don't know his name, I guarantee you know his hymns. But he didn't start off as a hymn writer. This was somebody who actually began his life, his adult life, as a slave trader. He owned a ship, he was captain of the ship, and he was in the business of buying and selling human beings. And in one evening, one day, a terrible storm came up. The ship was tossed to and fro, winds, lightning, all of that. And he realized that he might not survive, and everybody on the ship might not survive. So he said his prayers, and in his prayers, he said, God, if you get me through this, if you get us through this, God, I promise I will turn my life around. I'm going to abandon this practice, and I will dedicate my life to you. Well, the storm subsided. He lived, everyone on the ship lived. He abandoned his life as a slave trader and dedicated his life to the church as a humble monk. And responded by writing many hymn texts. Right, the most famous of these is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Yeah, here was somebody who really, really, really knew what it meant to be justified by faith. The things that happens when we are justified by faith is that God has always desired for the human beings, the human family, to be united both in God and with one another. So we kind of come onto this state of being family. We come into this state of being part of Christ's kind of faith. It's hard to find an exact word, but I might describe it as Christ's key. Then one of the next things that St. Paul says, he's building his arguments in Galatians, says, as many of you as were baptized have put on Christ. Now, when I first read that phrase, and I'll admit, even many, many years later, that's always something that throws me for a loop, wondering what exactly does it mean Christ as another person, like how do you put out a person? I'm not quite sure how to do that. And I suppose I could like throw him over my shoulder and carry him, but it's not quite the same as putting someone on. Many times when we talk about putting something on in the sort of physical sense, can mean putting on a uniform. You know, a uniform is something that identifies people, and people wearing the same uniform, they're kind of bound together in a way. Just the other night, I was attending a baseball game over at the Tide Stadium, and I don't go there very often, so I don't know my way around. But I had my tickets, had my son with me, and meanwhile, he's trying to wander off in one minute. Come back here. Gotta find the seats. But I knew those people wearing those bright yellow shirts. There's a lot of them. I knew they were the ones I could go to. They were the ones that had the uniform. They were the ones who put on something that stated, you know, I'm here with the ballpark, I can help you. And okay, that's very helpful. When I was younger, particularly in high school, I put on another type of uniform. That was because I was on a football team. And when we were playing football, our school had a tradition that we liked a whole lot. Because on Fridays, during football season, we would all wear our jerseys to school for our classes. And so we would walk around and strut a bit, saying to ourselves, I'm hot stuff. Walk around, look at me, look at me. Number 52, St. Alexander across the back. Chicago Bears on the side. So it's something that showed, you know, who we were and what we were doing. You know, but at the same time, being part of that team kind of bound us together. All the members of the football team, I made friends with people on that team that I might not have otherwise. So being part of that team bound us together. As Christians, the language of putting on Christ is one of these metaphorical ones. It's a metaphor for being bound together because we are one team, or as St. Paul described it, we are one body, you know, given to one another, which has some amazing implications. You just look around this room and look at everyone who is part of St. Francis Church. And just the beautiful thing about St. Francis, when you look around and you see the diversity that we enjoy, that we are a place where we strive to be a human family, a house of prayer for all nations, a place that, whether we're of African ancestry, European, island, Asian, Hispanic, and we are all together here. We are all one. And that's because in Christ we have been made one. St. Paul brings this passage, at least passage that we read today, to a close. It brings up that very famous saying, there is no longer male nor female, slave nor free, no longer barbarian or Greek, but all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And that's just it just happens because as we are united to Christ, we are also united to one another because we have Christ in common. It makes us all brothers and sisters. It makes us all part of the same family, which is really something, and it is huge when you think about it. It's huge to look in a world that, from the very beginning of time, as I was saying, has struggled with racism of one form or another. And the gospel provides this counterbalance that says, no, one culture or one skin color or one is not superior. We are all part of one family. We are all one. St. Paul really drove this point home in another letter in the New Testament. This is a pretty short one. It's only one chapter. It's the letter to Philemon. And Philemon was a Roman citizen, and as such, he enjoyed certain privileges. You know, this was at a time when Rome was the dominant power. So, of course, people that looked like Romans had the power that were considered superior. People that acted and behaved and had the Roman culture, they were considered superior. And part of that was they were allowed to own slaves. Own other human beings. And this man, Philemon, had a slave called Onesimus, that was his name. And Onesimus had run away, and he found his way to St. Paul, and was baptized, became a Christian, And at one point, St. Paul wrote this letter to Philemon, sending Onesimus back. For a moment, you might say to yourself, gosh, what is that about? And St. Paul did so in a way that was completely radical, a way that completely challenged the prevailing attitudes, you know, towards human beings, towards slavery, and what it meant to be a Christian. In his letter to Philemon, he said this, I am sending Onesimus back to you, not so you can receive him as a slave, but so you can receive him as a brother. And he reminded Philemon of everything he had done for him. And then being just a little bit sneaky, St. Paul, I really like you, get it in there. He says, although I have it in my authority to order you to do so, I would much rather appeal to you on the basis of love. Imagine this guy reading this. Appeal on the basis of love, receive this slave back, not as a slave, but as my brother. This went beyond freeing him and seeing him as a brother, somebody who is loved, somebody who is part of the same family, somebody who in Christ we have been made one. Just the same thing that happens in a parish like St. Francis. We look around and we see one another and we are one. In Christ, we have been made one. Because despite what we see in the world with the issues of racism that go back to the dawn of time, we have the gospel which proves a counterbalance. It shows us a different way. We have a gospel that counterbalances that human fragility, frailty, that devalues others. It seems to have this need to think certain people are superior. But from the beginning, although we have struggled with this, we also have something else. We have what has been broken, has been repaired, it has been corrected. And our attitudes towards one another have been justified by the gospel. Say, no, we are not superior, we are family. No one person, culture, race is superior, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And perhaps people have harbored incorrect attitudes, have said certain things, have done certain things, supported certain things. But Christ forgives us not to condemn us, or not to allow to continue, gives us so that we can do better. So we can see ourselves as one team, see ourselves as one body, see ourselves as united to Christ and to one another. There really is no place for racism within the kingdom of God, because it just doesn't fit. In the kingdom of God, in the gospel of God, shows his love for all humanity, shows his love for all of us. And in that love, we are united to God, we are united to one another, in a loving fellowship, in a being one in Christ Jesus. Amen.